Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on July 24th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm particularly chipper, even though it's this early, because we're going to talk about something I think is truly historic. And you know, there's so many things that make the South Bay special, but this really, really was special. I mean, this really, really was historic, given even the 2 years ago, the win that the Kings had and the parade of the cup throughout the South Bay, which was epic. This was a whole nother level. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Michael Zislis of the Zislis Group and Kelly Stroman of the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association. Michael Zislis, a frequent and favorite guest here on the show, is a South Bay native and the brain trust behind the Zislis Group. With a flourishing collection of breweries and restaurants located throughout the South Bay, Rockin' Fish, Brewco, Circa, The Strand House, and Rockin' Brews in Torrance, just to name a few, the Zislis Group has created a winning formula for drinking and dining in the South Bay. Michael is also the guy behind the fashionable boutique hotel Shade Manhattan Beach and the new Shade Redondo Beach, which is under construction as we speak. Kelly Stroman, another of our favorite guests, is the executive director of the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association and is a regular contributor to this program. Every business in Downtown Manhattan Beach belongs to the association, including the farmers market, and it's Kelly's responsibility to make downtown an attractive place to shop, dine, play, and stay. She has lived in Manhattan Beach for 15 years and has two teenage boys attending MiraCosta High School. Kelly spent years volunteering within the public school system and raising money for the Manhattan Beach Education Foundation, and she describes her current position as a fruitful combination of everything she has ever worked in or volunteered for. She is passionate about keeping downtown Manhattan Beach inviting to locals, Southern Californians, and travelers from afar. Now, Kelly and Michael were responsible for putting everything in place for the LA Kings South Bay Stanley Cup Parade that took place in the Beach Cities on June 18th, and this morning, they're going to give us the backstory on exactly all that came to be. Kelly, Michael, welcome back to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Hey, Jackie, thanks for getting us up so early.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. That's what we do.
Today is going to be a long day, but a good day, I hope. let's start with you, Michael. Let's give you an opportunity to just give us some of the backstory. Why did we have a parade in our little Manhattan Beach, 35,000 people, when it's a world event? Literally, around the globe, people celebrated the winning of the cup by the Los Angeles Kings. How did that happen?
Well, let me just add to that. It wasn't just Manhattan Beach. It was Redondo Beach and Hermosa Beach ending in Manhattan Beach and celebrating here. Hmm. And I say that because it was really unique. Most, I'd say 80%, 90% of the players live in the South Bay. I'd say 75% live here in Manhattan Beach. Hmm. And the ones that didn't live here were staying in Manhattan Beach during this playoff run in some of the local hotels, which I won't mention. Hmm. And you know, so it was really a South Bay event, and I think they wanted the party for the for Los Angeles was held downtown, but they just had this secret idea of doing a local parade for all their friends and family here in the South Bay. They're just, you know, they're really a part of our downtown. They're really a part of our cities. These Kings players, we see them all the time around town, and it was just for them how they wanted to end the season. They didn't want to end it in a hotel ballroom in downtown L.A. They wanted to end it beachfront at the Strand House in Manhattan Beach.
Okay, okay. So, you know, all of us, literally all of us, you, Michael, Kelly, Jackie, and I, love the South Bay. We love growing up here. If not growing up here, our kids grew up here. That is an amazing story in and of itself. So, okay, so take us through it. The players wanted to end the season here. So what was the next step? Getting a parade together, that gets you have to get the cities together. The police departments have to agree. There has to be no other event going on that day. That's a big deal.
I'm sure there's a permit involved there someplace too.
Yes. Well, and several city council meetings.
Kelly, I'm going to let you talk about the hows and whys, because that was really, you know, Kelly was the one who really spearheaded the hey, just tell us what you need attitude. And then whenever Kelly hit a wall, she came to me to get, you know, my contacts at each city to help out when there was a wall. But I think Kelly can just describe how she got it done. Go ahead, Kelly.
All right, sure. I'll jump in. So I'm going to back up just a little bit to an email that I received in late May when they were still in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they were anticipating, you know, the win and going into the finals. And one night, you know, late, I'm working in my office, and I received this email from the Kings Foundation. And it says, you know, hey, we're interested in putting, you know, a banner up on your Manhattan Beach pier. You know, can you help us? And I'm looking at this email going, oh, I like this. Okay, yeah, I can help you. So I pick up the phone. I'm like, heck, I'm not going to respond via email. I'm going to pick up the phone and, you know, and talk. So I start talking to the marketing department at the Kings, and I say, hey, you know, okay, you want to hang a banner from the pier? We might be able to do that. How big? And they're like, big, like, you know, 30, 50, 60 feet. And I'm like, ooh, that's really big. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, that might be a little bit of a problem, because when you start hanging down from the pier, you get in the way of, like, lifeguard trucks going underneath the pier and what have you. So I said, you know, I have this idea. What if we go larger and try to cover the top of the roundhouse with a massive banner that kind of almost like a hat on the top of the roundhouse. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ooh, yeah, they love that idea. So that's kind of how it was born. And I, you know, I hung up from that phone call, and I immediately sent an email to my board of directors just saying, hey, you know, this has come across my plate. If, you know, what do you think? If anybody has any objections, speak now or forever hold your peace. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have an objection, I'm going straight to the city, like, immediately and making the request, because those type of things don't just happen overnight, and, you know, it has to be kind of fast-tracked. So right. I immediately got, you know, enough positive responses. So within like a half hour, I sent off email to the city. And when I say the city, there's certain, you know, city officials and departments that type of thing has to go through. Knowing this was going to be unique, it would, you know, take even more of an effort. So I sent off the email, and I got it in just in time to actually be something that could be agendized for the city council meeting the next week. And because there's certain, you know, Brown Act rules you have to follow with letting the public know. So we got it in just in time. And then, of course, the conversations just went rapid from there. You know, all sorts of phone calls and emails and contacts had to be pulled in. Mm-hmm. And the city, on their end, you know, thought it was a great idea, but they were also leery of setting a precedent and doing this and having subsequent groups, you know, come forward years to come and kind of, you know, unleashing the beast and everybody wanting to hang banners from the pier because usually they don't hang banners from the pier. This was definitely a special occasion. So from there, you know, conversation after conversation, you know, came through. I don't think it actually got agendized, but it became comment during the next city council meeting. And of course, you know, we're sitting here chomping at the bit knowing that it, you know, it takes time to produce this and to get it hung. So anyways, long story short, we were on the what I call the, you know, the first yard line or goal line, whatever, and we still didn't have a yes.
The blue line. You were, Kelly, you were on the blue line.
Blue line. Thank you. Yeah, my hockey terms aren't, you know, necessarily the best. Okay, so we were right there for so long. We're like, come on, just, you know, just push it over the line. You know, we need a score on this one. And
yeah.
They just couldn't quite get there with a unanimous agreement. And yeah, at the time, also, our city was in transition. We had an interim city manager. And I think everybody was being very careful about making the decision, and rightfully so, you know. So in the meantime, we worked with the Kings, and we had the person who makes the banners for the Kings come out and measure, and we were already laying the groundwork
right.
You know, in anticipation of a yes. And actually, I want to back up for 1 second because we'll get into this in a second, but I want to mention that after that initial email outreach to me about the banner and I shot it off to the city, I took about one breath and I emailed the person back after we had talked and I said, hey, okay, we're working on the banner, but just for the record, if the Kings win the Stanley Cup,
right.
I want a parade down here in the beach cities, and I want to end in downtown Manhattan Beach. I'm just going on record, and that was my email to them, you know. And
well,
they just
as you can tell that she laid the groundwork. We were able to convince the city that this precedent is typical for this wouldn't be for the Dodgers or for the Angels. This is for the Kings because they live in our community, and that's the precedent
right.
we set.
Right.
The banner was hung, and she put the bug in their ear about a parade, and the rest is history.
Right, right. This is interesting. I mean, of course, a lot of the Lakers live in and around the South Bay, you know, for years. And then, of course, you know, famously, the Coach D'Antonio lived in Manhattan Beach. I don't know if he still does, but he did. And he's no longer the coach of the Lakers. But that's
Lane Kiffin was here for a while, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah absolutely. Yeah. It's you know, it's a great place to live if you're anywhere in around LA. But specifically though, the LA Kings have really, really made it a home, and I think it's, you know, player talking to player, and also because they have families. Then they wanna raise families, and obviously this is a great place to raise families. So they've talked to each other and sort of settled on the South Bay as being the region to be. Why? Well, there was no. I can see a lot of issues with precedents for hanging banners under the pier because of that, the technical details. But the parade, though, everyone must have just immediately said, if they win the Stanley Cup, we want to be involved. And did it go that way?
I don't know if it went that way.
No.
When we met with officials, they're like, who's going to pay for this? There's not enough time.
Money.
You know, you can't do a parade without a plan, and it takes months to plan. And I'm like, hey, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And we thought we even had a little bit more time, but then all of a sudden the Kings started sweeping the series. You know what
I mean? Right, right, right.
So, Kelly's dream was to have a big cake made, and we were sitting there having a beer at one of the games together, her and I, that was her dream. And I said, hey, I got the best pastry chef in the world. I got Stephanie Franz at the Fran House who won Cupcake Awards. She could make a Stanley Cupcake. So we went out to start making a cake, and then I said, "Ah, you got you got 10 days to do it." All of a sudden, I'm like, "No, I think you got 4 days." You know.
So this is really compressed. I mean, 4 days. Oh my goodness, that
no.
really.
Oh wait, you've got the cake planned, but yeah. the parade still isn't planned yet.
Yeah priorities,
the cake,
right?
the cake's under production, and then there are a lot of moving parts, you guys. And any time the Kings. You know, Kelly was the official channel through the Kings for the whole South Bay, and then anytime there was a roadblock, and there was a lot of, you know, Russian mumbling of Miet, you know what I mean? we heard it a lot, and
yeah.
And then we just have to go to the council, you know, to the mayors and the city council and say, listen, you know, you're going to be, you know, revered as the great mayor when you have this parade come through your town with the Stanley Cup. Your
right.
your citizenry is going to love you.
Right.
And if you're the guy that makes the parade skip your town, they're going to remember that. And those little pressures really helped get it all done. But there was a lot of support, a few roadblocks.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's illegal to sit in the back of a pickup truck. Did you guys know that?
Yes. Yeah, I was aware
while
of it.
While it's moving? Yeah, I had it.
Yeah, while it's moving. So, you know, one of the police jurisdictions said, you can do it, but you can't be in the back of the pickup trucks. And we're like, listen, I've been to 100 parades since I was 3 at the Little League in Rolling Hills, and I remember people sitting in the back of trucks. Come on. They're
yeah.
going, you know. And then finally we got a waiver, you know. So it was very difficult.
Yeah.
You didn't put them in the back of pickup trucks. You put them on the roof of the assault vehicle, didn't you?
No, they were in the back of 20, I think 10 or was it 10, Kelly? How many Toyota Thunders?
I think 10. There was 12, I think. But and then the SWAT vehicle carried the cup with a couple of players also.
Right,
Jack.
Right.
That's,
that,
I think.
That, that's,
yeah, and that
that's
was right. a pretty amazing, you know, picture when that came down the boulevard, the big old SWAT truck. And it wasn't just carrying a player or the coach. It was carrying, you know, a few and the Stanley Cup, like, you know, under
yeah.
lock and key. So
yeah,
that was
yeah.
that was pretty cool. But, you know, also, Mike is being modest. We were sworn to secrecy. I was sworn to secrecy first when they started moving through the playoff or the finals and winning. You know, the next phone call, you know, came in and said, "Okay, you know, we're looking at that parade, and
right.
oh, by the way, we'd like to have a party in Manhattan Beach, like a private party,
mm-hmm.
but you can't tell anybody." And I'm like, "Okay." And these are always kind of late night conversations, you know.
Right,
and I'm
right.
like, "Okay, what do you mean?" Well, like a party, and we want it on the beach. And I said, "Like, how many people? 100?" They're like, "No, about 500." And I'm like, "Oh, that's."
And you can't tell anybody?
Can't tell anybody. And I said, "Well, I know." I said, "It's probably not going to happen on the beach because, you know, alcohol would be sorry, it would be an evening party celebration."
Right, right.
I said, "That's probably not going to happen." "Well, then how about the pier? Can you close off the pier so it's contained?" And I'm like, same thing, alcohol, probably not. I said, "But I have an idea. So I need to tell one person. Can I tell one person?"
Okay, but
like,
wait a minute, Kelly. So
yeah.
before you get to the party, the parade still isn't – I mean, I want to know – How you guys got at least 3 city councils to work together on this? Did you get everybody in one room and had
well?
No,
so,
no.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it was divide and conquer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it was, you know, kind of started with the police every time, and then went to the city manager. So, you know, the nice thing is I'm developing in Redondo Beach the new Shade Hotel. So.
Right.
I'm quite cognizant of who runs that city.
Yeah.
And Hermosa, you know, I've had a business in Hermosa before in Manhattan Beach. So as far as knowing everybody, I think I have them all in my cell phone. And that's what it took. It kind of took just helping the Kings, because the Kings are a big organization. And they, you know, I don't know that they have enough people. But and not to mention, do they have enough people? But they were running through the playoffs. So every time we needed an answer, it's like, "Oh, the wife's just arrived in New York, and I can't talk until I get them all to the stadium." Literally, we would be shut down for 4 or 5 hours at a time when we needed answers. We needed
right.
answers, and we couldn't get those answers. And the city's like, "Will they pay for the security guards to protect the downtown?" You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
"Well, we'll get back to you." And it would take, you know, 5-8 hours. But let me tell you, when you're running a whole event in four days, 5 to 8 hours is a long time.
Right. Right, right,
okay,
right.
And in the meantime, the entire South Bay became awash in Kings banners.
Kings jerseys.
I mean, did you see all the banners?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I was thinking the sign companies must be having a banner day, pun intended.
You're,
Well, and I can tell you, when the original request came in, still in the playoffs, for to hang the big banner from the pier, and you know, we started working on that, and I said, well, okay, this is going to take a little bit to get approved. In the meantime, you know, do you have any banners or any swag or, you know, flags or anything that, you know, I can put up in downtown and show, you know, a little support? Mm-hmm. And they said, sure, come on over, and, you know, and we'll give you what we have. So I go over, I think the next day, and pick up a box of 20 of those little 3x5 banners that you saw everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I said, go, Kings, go.
Mm-hmm.
And my first stop was the Zislis group, because I was, at this point, I was working with Mike. And I pull up, I don't know, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I pull up in my car in front of his office, and I start, you know, pulling out this box of Kings banners.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding you. I got, like, mobbed, like, 4 people walking down the sidewalk who went, I want a banner, I want a banner, I want a banner. I'm like, hold on. You know, and then I walk into Mike's office, and everybody wants a banner for this property and this property, and I go back out to my car. It was so funny, because it became like I was giving out candy, you know. And then I call her up. I go, okay, the banners are gone. It was like, you know, the next morning, can I have more? So I kept picking up one box at a time, and it went from literally hanging, you know, whatever, 5 banners to we ended up hanging 5 boxes, so 100 banners throughout town.
Right.
And of just our little 3x5 banners. And then all, you know, like Mike and Shellback and Skechers all kind of got on board and doing their own thing and hanging these massive banners on buildings that could handle like a 30 or 40-foot banner hanging from the side of it. And it kind of became the battle of the banners to see who could hang, you know, the biggest, you know, loudest banner. And the support was just amazing, you know, from every element, from the businesses wanting to support it to Mike and his organization was phenomenal. I couldn't have done it without him. I mean, bar none. And then the city, you know, at one point Mike and I were having a quick bite to eat, talking about, you know, the possible parade and the possible party that was all top secret still. And he goes, okay, what's the plan? And I go, Mike, we really need to start talking about it to the city. I go, and I didn't want to violate the request from the Kings to keep everything private. They were a very private organization. They really mm-hmm. pride themselves on giving their players and, you know, families privacy. And I said, I don't want to violate anybody, but if we're going to do this, we got to move and we got to get the city involved. And mm-hmm. Mike looks at me and he's like, yeah. And so he picks up the phone, and I'll let Mike take over, but he starts calling, you know, our police and our departments, and then we ran up the hill to his office and, you know, met with everybody within minutes. Because then the funny part was, by the time we let the cat out of the bag, somebody else had already kind of let it out of the bag, and the police chiefs from all 3 cities had already talked to each other,
right,
unbeknownst to us. So, and then from there, it was like wildfire. It just spread super fast, and everybody hopped on board, got in, and made it happen. It was really an amazing effort and an amazing display of, you know, communities, not just one, mm-hmm. coming together and making it happen.
Right. Mike?
I'll just add to that. I remember sitting in my office getting a screenshot off Google Maps and then drawing mm-hmm. a path for the parade. Then I send it into my graphics department and I have them draw the lines, and then we figure out where the buses can turn and how we can drive on the Strand and how we have to stop at the end of Hermosa because there's that staircase over there, like 21st,
mm-hmm.
22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the thing back up to Manhattan Avenue back into town. So we draw this whole plan. And then we call a traffic control company that reviews them, and we get them to review the plan. So it's kind of like now a certified plan, and then we submit it to the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this was done by the Kings. This was just done out of the conference room at the Zislis Group, just to push the thing along, and it worked, you know.
Right. It's historic. I mean, it's something that people will remember. I've got a shot. One of the pictures I used was a picture of a family with their baby in the top of the cup, which is just amazing. And then, of course, you know, everybody and their brother wants their picture taken with the cup, and I got a shot of you and Mike and Kelly with the cup, and Andrea's in there, I think, and it's really, really historic. And when you think about this, thinking back, everyone's going to remember this for a long, long, long time, and it really gave the city sort of a cohesive, the cities, the South Bay, Hermosa, Manhattan, and Redondo, a cohesive experience of the Wynn like none other. This is our Wynn.
Yeah, well, that cup is quite magical, and I say that because Kelly and I were able to retain the cup for 2 hours privately. When I say privately, we set it up in a little area at the Strand House between after the parade and before the King celebration party. Mm. We were able to let every police officer, firefighter, city worker for Redondo, Hermosa, and Manhattan take a picture with it, and all of our downtown business owners and families and friends. And I think we peeled off 780 photos.
Wow.
And 780 photos that we took professionally because I happened to have the cup the day they won at Shade with the coach for his party. And when people use their cell phones, it just slows down and bogs down the line. So we did it professionally there. Kelly sat at the end. Chandra, the owner of Trilogy Spa, had the list of names and my security guard. I mean, there was a line. You'd think you were selling tickets to the Who or something. And we literally pushed through, I'd say, 3,000 people in 2 hours to get a picture. Not with just the Stanley Cup, but we had the Conn Smythe Cup and the Western Conference Final Cup. So we had all three cups there. So that was a great – and to this day, I get thank you emails. People put packages on my front doorstep at my house. Thank you so much. Here, my wife and I were thinking of you. It was the greatest night ever. To a lot of people, this was a once-in-a-lifetime event, and it meant a lot to them and our community.
Right. Once in a lifetime. That's what captures it, I think. We're going to talk more about the cup and about the parade. We're going to talk about the actual parade and the route and how that happened. And it was really exciting the day of. I mean, my goodness, it was thousands of people were involved. So we're going to talk more about that. You're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about the King's Parade in the South Bay, a very unique event. And we're going to talk more with Mike Zislis and Kelly Stroman, and it's just very exciting. So at this time, we want to thank a sponsor. We have sponsors, and we want to thank them, and they're very good sponsors. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
All right. Now, Kelly, one of the things that may have made this easier for city officials, for the police, one of the things that may have made this easier was that this was not going to be a public event for all of L.A. This was just going to be for the Beach City, so there's no advanced, you know, publicity or anything like that. So we wouldn't have a lot of people coming from all over. But then social media just blew up. Everybody knew about it.
You know what? And I think that's a good thing because it was a Beach Cities parade, but we have all sorts of people that come to the Beach Cities in Manhattan Beach to enjoy our community and to shop and to eat and, you know, to go to the beach. So sure, the locals, you know, came out in force. Kids were skipping graduations and everything, and, you know, people were like, why can't you move it? You know, whatever. Middle school graduation is the same day. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't tell the Kings to move their parade for one thing. So we honored the wishes of the Kings organization. And at a certain point when we could, you know, start talking about it, it was still kept pretty tight within all the city officials.
Right.
And then at a certain point, we were like, okay, we're so darn excited about this. We want to get the word out. And you know what? Everybody's invited. And, you know, my phone started ringing off the hook in my office. My email started blowing up. I was getting messaged on Facebook, you know, where do we park? How do we get down there? Are they busing people? And you know, we were moving so fast. I mean, Mike and I, you know, we should have put a pedometer on us, Mike, because we ran up and down the hills of Manhattan Beach to and from the Strand House and up here and around, you know, organizing everything. And I'm like, we couldn't talk, email, coordinate fast enough at that point. It was
mm-hmm.
moving so fast. So, you know, the more the merrier. And I have to say, when the parade actually started, I was at the Strand House, fortunately, on the balcony looking out. And I looked out, and there was such a diverse mix of people lined up on Manhattan Beach Boulevard. And even before that, I had walked down Manhattan Avenue kind of coming in, which was like the end of the route coming into Manhattan Beach Boulevard. And you know, there was all ages. I saw, you know, an older couple that I spoke to, they were camped out in little, you know, like beach chairs on the corner at Becker's on Manhattan Avenue.
Yeah.
And I went up to them, and they're like, you know, they had to have been honestly close to 90 years old. They were, you know, they had been residents of Manhattan Beach for 60 years. And they go, this is one of the most exciting things we've ever, you know, look forward to and are going to be able to see. And they sat there so patiently waiting. And so we had that, and then we had little kids. And then we walked down, and on the boulevard, there was all walks of life lined up to greet, you know, this team and to see it. And that's kind of the beauty. And it was such a well-executed parade. It went off without a hitch. You know, the police department was absolutely over-prepared, which I think is fantastic, you know. And there was no glitches. It all went off, you know, perfectly safe and fun, and everybody walked away really happy.
It's it is the Stanley Cup, and we are responsible for taking care of Lord Stanley's Cup, and we did it. We did a great job. And
okay, I'm going to throw out the question I have already asked several times. All right, can anybody think of any other professional sports team anywhere in this country where you have? I had heard it was all but one of the players living in Manhattan and Hermosa, that the one other guy lives in Venice, and that he was under so much pressure to move down there that it's going to happen soon. but is it, I mean, you know, the Knicks don't all live in the same neighborhood. The Chicago Bulls don't all live in the same neighborhood. The Seattle Seahawks don't all live in the same neighborhood. Is there can anybody think of another franchise where something like this could come to be because of, you know, where they live?
Go ahead, Mike.
I would just add that, you know, I go back a little longer with the Kings. So when I opened Manhattan Beach Brewery 25 years ago, when I was 10, you know, that's when Gretzky got traded to the Kings.
Right.
And it was Marty McSorley and all the Kings players who moved to Manhattan Beach, and they were all kind of single wild guys. And Manhattan Beach was kind of a single wild place. And that's how this heritage of Kings hockey started here. It was all on that trade from Gretzky and everybody moving to the South Bay. So Manhattan Beach started 25 years ago, and then what happened? The place becomes a family community. We get rated the best schools in the country. The teams start changing to having families and kids, and Manhattan Beach was the natural progression of where to be, and now this is it. This is where they all live.
Right. It's a beautiful thing. They have a young team. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come. Now that this has happened, it's going to be hard to top. But you know, it would be nice to have some kind of a little gathering, I guess. You know, every year. For the Kings, as long as they're doing well and they're here, and you know.
Well, Well, do remember that every player and every associate with the Kings gets the cup. So the cup has already raised its lovely head here a few times. So, you know, I know it's been to two of my properties already, and it's planned on being here. So let's just say a coach gets it. They'll call a certain restaurant, and they'll ask if they can have a party there for all their friends, and because they get it for a few hours, and they get it for a day, actually. And so that you're going to see the cup a lot over the next year here in you'll see it in Redondo, you'll see it in Hermosa, you'll see it everywhere for the next year. It'll be raising its head a lot.
Right.
You know what, Joe, to your point, too, it was when we were planning the parade and taking, you know, trying to respect their wishes and then using that and trying to plan it with the city appropriately and their requests and their rules, you know, I kept saying over and over and over again, it's really important to me and to our organization in downtown to handle the parade and the party appropriately, and because they will win again, and we do want the parade, we want to be invited back to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, over and over again, everybody came together to make that happen with the thought of pleasing them, but also looking down towards the future, because that's what a community does. You take care of each other, and the Kings, you know, love this community. They live here, and we love them. And I think everybody embraced that and made it happen.
Right. Wonderful community coming together to celebrate, really, residents, celebrating the beautiful coming together of the Kings as a team, but also the coming together of the Kings as residents of the South Bay. It's what a great story. I'm surprised that more national outlets haven't picked it up because it's such an incredible sports story. And here it happened, right here in our South Bay. We're so proud. This is wonderful.
I also think the Kings did a great job in not releasing the parade details until after the Los Angeles parade. So there was no mention of it, no talk of it.
Right.
We were like on blackout mode until that happened, and literally right after the parade, that social media engine fired up, and all the stores put it on their Facebook, and it went viral. I mean, truly viral. And then all of a sudden, it's not. You know, there's a funny button we have in my organization. It's called I Know Mike. And at one Christmas party, somebody made these buttons because my staff is always barraged when they want to. You know, somebody wants a table, they'll walk into the front of one of my restaurants and say, I know Mike, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, listen, Kelly will tell you, everybody knew Mike that week, and everybody knew Kelly. So everybody called me to get into this Kings party, this private party, and I had to keep saying to them, You don't understand, it is not my party. The Kings have rented out my restaurant, the Strand House. It is their party. I can't get you in. I've got no way. Come on, you know, mayors, councilmen, friends, politicos, everybody called to get in. And it was a ticket. I couldn't get them in, and they were offended. I said, listen. And then people went to the door, same thing. I know Mike. He'll let me in. And then they even called me. They had to call me to the door to get some people to leave because they just wouldn't leave.
Oh.
Mike, tell us, Mike or Kelly, tell us about the party. And so, during the parade, I'm sure you guys were setting up and everything, but after the parade, so the Kings had the party at the Strand House after the parade.
Correct.
So it was really, you know, it was very well run by the police. What the police wanted is, after they got off the deck at the balcony at the Strand House, they all came out publicly, loaded into a bus, and drove away. Mm-hmm. And that was really important because that dispersed the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge crowd. I mean, you've seen the images. I've never, you know, that was an amazing crowd downtown.
Right.
So the crowd left, and then we had 2 hours to finalize setting up for the party. And then we had a perimeter. You know, the police had set up a perimeter with gates around the Strand House to keep anybody out. And the Kings were delivered via valet on Ocean Drive. And four 450 people showed up for a wild night of dining and dancing and
photo ops.
Celebrating.
Celebrating and You know, I think there's still champagne on the ceiling down in the strand bar.
So I say, you know, the next morning after the party, I got in early. I went down to the lower Manhattan Beach Boulevard to make sure everything was cleaned up and everything was tidy and the city was kind of back, you know, in normal fashion. Mm. And I walked down there and I was blown away with how clean it was. You know, everything was put away, cleaned up. There was honestly no sign of a parade or a party the night before, just hours before.
Right.
And I kind of joke and I go, you know, I look over at the Strand House, which you would have never known anything took place, but I kind of joke and go, you know, I think I heard like the walls moaning because it was like, you know, the town had like a hangover after that big night. It was so quiet. I think we have a parade hangover happening, you know, down there by the pier because
right.
it was just peaceful and quiet. Now, who knows what the inside of the Strand House looked like, but from the outside, you'd never know.
And quickly, Kelly, how did your cake go over?
I was so happy. You know, that started by a dream. I actually had a physical dream of a Stanley Cup when they were in the playoffs, okay? And I said to Mike at that game, Mike, I have this dream. And he's like, what was your dream? And I go, okay, it's crazy. I know you're going to think I'm nuts. But it was a life-size Stanley Cup cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want someone to build me a life-size Stanley Cup cake. Wouldn't that be awesome? And he looks at me with kind of like this wild eye, and he grabs his phone and starts texting away or emailing away, and boom, he goes, done. They're already working on it. Within seconds, Mike, you can tell more of that. But I was like, really? And he goes, done. We're going to do it. And then they were out buying pans and everything. Mike, you can tell that story. But it was awesome. It was beautiful. They even imprinted all the numbers and names around the outside of the cake, like an actual Stanley Cup. And
incredible.
And, yeah, it was amazing.
Incredible.
I think Mike lost some hair or grew some gray hairs over that experience, but it was really fun.
It was like, you know, it was definitely like a war week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm still pretty busy building the new hotel. I must say that consumes my life right now, but it was like the whole world was put on hold for a week, and it was like, hey, I'm planning a effing parade here. Leave me alone. You know, literally, it's like, it was pretty intense, and every day it wasn't a moment of calm. It was every day we had to plan something and move forward and again, kind of do it selfish. You know, we had to keep a lot of people out of it.
Well, didn't you have three different properties working on the cake too, Mike? You had three different locations, didn't you?
Yeah, so we, believe it or not, you can go online and find the specs for the Stanley Cup. Some geek has measured the thing and told you how high each ring is and how wide it is. So we found all the specs, and then we went and bought pans and timber. You know, they have to use little dowels of wood to hold it up that high. And so we went and bought the metallic fondant. And then my pastry chef, Stephanie, she came up with this idea of going to a printer. And, you know, those, like, old-fashioned ink blotter stamps you buy, you know, says paid or whatever on it.
Yeah,
she had a big one made with all the Kings' names and their number on it. So the thing was probably 6 inches high by 12 inches wide. So it cost like, you know, a couple $100 to have the stamp made. And then she took this stamp and she wrapped it around the fondant all the way around the cake on all the levels. So it truly looked like the Stanley Cup with all the names. It's just on our cake, it was just the Kings' names.
How do you get a stamp thing like that in what, 3 days?
You know, you get a stamp, believe it or not, you know, listen, the old space race days, everything, you know, you don't say no and you just get it done fast. And people want to help. So the stamp guy, he wants to tell the story to the people in his store that he made the stamp, that they made the cake for the celebration with. So he turns the stamp around in like literally 24 hours.
Wow.
So everybody helped. And, you know, we couldn't bake a cake that big in the oven at Strand House. So the pastry chef up at Circa was brought in to help because it was so much work, and then they at Shade, and then they cooked it at Circa because Circa has a big baking oven downstairs because they bake all their own breads there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a team effort of all the companies.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing, Mike. We really want to ask you a few syllables about Shade Redondo when we come back, because that property is shaping up and looking fabulous. And we will, but first we have to get to what's going on around town. We need to find out, Jackie, what's going on around town?
Well, the South Bay by Jackie Weekend Guide is brought to you by Rockin' Brews PCH. Rockin' Brews PCH is proud to serve an extensive menu of casual American comfort food and over 100 craft beers in their family-friendly backstage beer garden at the beach. Now you can get all your favorite Rockin' Brews menu items, such as Asian spicy wings and the Maui Wowie pizza, to go. Call in your order or stop by on the way home, and it'll be ready in minutes. In addition, Rockin' Brews is making party planning fun and easy with its new catering menu. Rockin' Brews PCH is conveniently located at the crossroads of Pacific Coast Highway and Palos Verdes Boulevard and has plenty of on-site parking. For all the details, visit the website at rockinbrews.com or call 310-378-4970. Okay, I'm going to do a little speed reading here. Real quickly, today at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be at Miramar Park for a charity fundraiser. I'm going to be dumping buckets of ice-cold water over council members' heads to raise money for the Redondo Beach Fire Department. I can't get into all the details now. Anyway, okay. The Women's Council of Realtors South Bay Chapter presents the 4th Annual Taste of Summer on Thursday, today, July 24th, at South Coast Botanic Garden. Taste of Summer is a food, wine, and craft beer festival that takes place each year in a picturesque South Bay location. The event takes place from 5:30 to 8:30 and features tasty bites from a variety of South Bay restaurants, beer, wine, live music, and a silent auction. Also, tickets are $45 per person and are available at the website www.wcrsouthbay.org. WCR, that's the Women's Council of Realtors, southbay.org. The Botanic Garden is located at 26300 Crenshaw Boulevard on the Palos Verdes Peninsula. Nico Kai Water Shop, Manhattan Beach Parks and Recreation, and the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association have teamed up to present summer surf movies at Metlocks Plaza. The second screening will be Disney's Pixar's Finding Nemo, with the film being projected onto the waterfall fountain. Food will be available for purchase from the Manhattan Beach Pizzeria, Bonaventura Gelato, and popcorn and beverages from Nico Kai, staffed by the MiraCosta Surf Club. The evening also features music, activities for the kids, and a raffle with items donated from downtown businesses and local surf brands. These family-friendly screenings are free and open to the public. The fun begins at 6:30 p.m., the raffle's at 7:15, and the movie is at 7:30. A percentage of the proceeds from all vendor booths will go to support the MiraCosta Surf Team. Metlocks Plaza is located at 13th Street and Morningside Drive in Manhattan Beach. The City of Torrance Community Services Department and local homeowners associations are proud to sponsor Movies in the Park. These movie nights will take place at various parks throughout the city this summer. Everyone is welcome and admission is free. Pack up a picnic basket, blanket, and lawn chairs and join friends and neighbors for an evening of family-friendly cinematic entertainment at the park as the parks convert into outdoor movie theaters. Each event will feature a different movie beginning at dusk. Bring a jacket, popcorn, cocoa, and snacks and join the fun. Marley and Me is playing Saturday, July 26th at La Romeria Park, located at 19501 Inglewood Avenue in Torrance. For additional information, you can call 310-618-2930. Join the Richstone Family Center for their 40th birthday beach bash on Saturday, July 26th on the beach at King Harbor. Guests will enjoy sampling delectable food, wine, and beer from local purveyors while listening to the rhythms of a live band on a private beach. The fun-filled event runs from 5:30 to 9 p.m. and will conclude with a fireworks display. Reserve tables for 10 are available, and general admission tickets are $100 per person. For additional information, ticket purchase, and to make a donation, visit the website at www.richstonefamily.org. The event takes place on the sand at 201 Yacht Club Way in Redondo Beach, and that's the beach on the south side of the Chart House. Join Vanguard for Game of Skates on Sunday, July 27th, from 11 to 5 p.m. It's been a while since Vanguard has had an event, and they're planning to go all out for this one. Shredders must sign up at the shop. Spots are going fast, so you got to get there soon. There will be games, prizes, raffles, giveaways, and music streaming from Nixon. Wee Man's Chronic Tacos will be on site. Groms, 11 and under, will be the first contest. The event also features special guests and mystery judges. And you'll see when you get there. The Vanguard Mini Ramp Half Pipe will also be open. If you want to skate, make sure you have a waiver on file at the shop. No exceptions. Vanguard Surf and Skate is located at 5205 Pacific Coast Highway in Torrance. For additional information, visit the website at www.vanguard-sss.com. www.thesislasgroup.com. The City of El Segundo Recreation and Parks Department is proud to present the 2014 Summer Concerts in the Park series, sponsored by Chevron. These free concerts take place on select Sunday evenings at Library Park, located at the 600 block of Main Street in downtown El Segundo. Activities begin at 4, with the music starting at 4:30 and running until 6 p.m. There will be local food vendors, and kids can stop by the gazebo for face painting and arts and crafts. This Sunday, July 27th, features Petty Theft, a Tom Petty tribute band. No glass containers are permitted, and please leave the pets at home. For more information, visit the website at www.elsegundo.org. Library Park is located, as I said, 600 block of Main Street in El Segundo. Join Darren's for a grand reopening benefit dinner for No Limits for Deaf Children on July 29th at 7 p.m. The new reimagined Darren's will feature a revamped menu that offers guests small and large plates to share. The dinner will feature a four-course prefix menu. Guests in attendance will be offered a choice of appetizer, soup, salad, dessert, and the menu will come with wine pairings to accompany their selection. The event will also offer post-dinner entertainment from Kathy Buckley, the five-time American Comedy Award nominee as Best Stand-Up Female Comedian. Tickets are on sale now and are $100 per person with the wine pairing, $75 without the wine. For additional information about Darren's reopening or the charity benefit dinner, call 310-802-1973 or visit the website at www.darrensrestaurant.com. Darren's is located at 1141 Manhattan Avenue in Manhattan Beach. All right, the 2014 International Surf Festival gets underway on Wednesday, July 30th, and runs through Sunday, August 3rd. The festival kicks off with the Charlie Sakely Volleyball Tournament, better known as Six Man, on Wednesday at 9 a.m. at the Manhattan Beach Pier. The Los Angeles County Lifeguard Medal of Valor Dinner is scheduled for Thursday, July 31st at the Seaside Lagoon in Redondo Beach. On Friday, August 1st, the LA County Lifeguard Championships take place at the Manhattan Beach Pier beginning at 7. Events include U.S. Coast Guard helicopter rescue demonstration, run relays, other lifeguard competitions. Saturday and Sunday will be packed with events all day long. For more information on that, visit the website at www.surffestival.org. And I'm going to put this out there early. It's not until next Thursday, but the public is invited to a memorial service for Louis Zamperini on Thursday, July 31st at Torrance High School Zamperini Stadium. The City of Torrance, in partnership with the Torrance Historical Society, the Torrance Unified School District, the Torrance Airport Association, Torrance High School, and the Torrance High School Alumni Association, invites the community to celebrate to a celebration of life in honor of Torrance hometown hero Louis Zamperini, who passed away on July 3rd. The memorial will begin at 6 p.m. at Torrance High School, which is Zamperini's alma mater. This will be a celebration of life with airplane flyovers, reflection from Zamperini's family and friends, and a symbolic lap around the track. It will be a true tribute to our hometown hero. For additional information, contact Jamie Lee, Community Relations Specialist for the City of Torrance, at 310-618-5762. Torrance High School is located at 2125 Lincoln Avenue in Torrance. And as always, be sure to check the calendar links and things to do page on my website for details on these and other events happening throughout the South Bay. And a program note, tomorrow morning on the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360s, our guests will be Bree Goldwater, Cindy McMasters, and Barry Fisher. And they're going to discuss their innovative business ideas and the challenges they face to get their now thriving concerns off the ground. So tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for that show.
Absolutely. So, Mike, I want to talk about, just for a minute, give us an update on Shade Redondo, and I want the numbers. How much bigger than Shade Manhattan is it?
Well, first, I've got to ask Jackie, who's she pouring water on it at the City of Redondo?
A challenge which was put out to the city council members.
Uh-huh.
And so it's something like Nicole Meridian from My Redondo Beach, she used to be with Pat. She now has her own little news service. She put a challenge out to several different groups, one of them being the city council, saying if you can provide a video of having water dumped over your head, if you provide the video, you just have to donate $10. If you don't get the water dumped, you got to donate $100. So Jeff Ginsburg, I offered to dump water over his head today. So we're going to be down at the park, and I get to do the honors.
Beautiful. Well, look, Shade Redondo, you know, it's been a long time coming, you guys.
Right.
Honestly, the hardest project I've ever done, and I've done a lot of projects. But most people at the city have been supportive, and it's just not a typical deal for me. But we have started construction. It is a 54-room hotel. Shade Manhattan Beach is 38. The difference here is I have a much bigger event facility, and the event facility is pulled off closer towards the Cheesecake. So what I mean by that is the Zinc Lounge, as you know, at the restaurant at Manhattan Beach, will be on the ground floor about 8 feet above the water line. So you'll be looking down and over the marina. And then on the second floor of that event building, I have a ballroom for weddings for 200. Mm-hmm. And then on the third floor, I've got a sky deck for weddings and parties, you know, about the same occupancy at 200. So it's like three different event spaces that you can, so you could get married, let's say, up on the roof with views of the vistas from Palos Verdes to Malibu. Then you move down into the ballroom, and then you go downstairs after that for dancing down in the lounge.
Right. Wow.
When is that scheduled to be complete?
That'll open on November 18th of next year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our website, Shade RB, Redondo Beach, mm-hmm. you'll see all the pictures and images of the rooms. I mean, the rooms are fully designed, developed, actually in production. So our first room's in production, and it will be installed in about 12 weeks. You bring in one room first to, like, kind of weed out any mistakes you made in the design. And, you know, if you know Shade Manhattan Beach, there's a lot of design in one of my rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming along. I've got a great contractor working on it, Summit BCK, and I meet with him every Wednesday for the most boring meetings I've ever been in. And, you know, talking
only
about sewer laterals and, you know, mm-hmm. 1% falls and lift mm-hmm. stations, it just bores the hell out of me. But it's things you got to do to get done. I'd rather talk more about how we're going to have the party and what kind of champagne we're going to serve and
yeah.
how the trade path hors d'oeuvres are going to look than sewer falls. But that's what I'm dealing with today.
But you got to get through all that stuff before you get to the champagne and goodness.
Exactly. I want to make sure when you release the champagne, it gets back to the sewer system, I guess.
It's an amazing location, and like you say, from that third floor ballroom, the view is spectacular.
Yeah, and I really believe, and I know everybody that listens to your show believes Redondo's ready for this rebirth.
Right.
And I'm hoping like Shade Manhattan Beach, I think that kind of anchored that new Metlocks development. I'm hoping this will be the anchor for the rebirth of the whole waterfront there in Redondo.
Absolutely.
Because remember, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but that Cheesecake Factory is the number three cheesecake factory in the United States. And there's reasons for that, because those views are epic. You know what I mean? And people want to go down and have brunch and lunch and see that marina. So it's ready to happen, I think.
Wow.
I didn't know that about the Cheesecake
yeah.
Factory.
Hey, you know, we have a caller. I don't know, caller, last four digits, 3883. You're on the air.
Hi, Joe and Jackie. I somehow got dropped from the interview.
Oh.
It was Kelly. I just called back
well,
in.
Kelly.
Now I know who it is. Hey, so it's wonderful. I mean, we've plumbed the depths of the hows and the whys and the wherefores of the King's Parade, but now it's time for this. Mike, Kelly, from all of us in the South Bay, thank you. It's hockey fan or no, you guys unleashed an amazing historical spectacle that was just mind-blowing. I mean, I have friends in Chicago who are still geeked out about the fact that we had the Cup flowing through the city in a parade. So it's mind-blowing.
It was a really cool event, and if, I'm giving you a high five and a fist bump over the phone.
Awesome.
I think,
awesome.
we kind of have to pinch ourselves. It was just a really special experience to be involved in.
It was amazing.
Yes, and amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know what you guys are going to do next, but that was pretty cool.
We'll figure out something. Trust me. We can always, one up ourselves.
I like the idea. I like the idea of keeping it a small town event like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me. I love being on your show, and it really gives everybody information on what's really going on in our community. It's a great community. And, by the way, that Tom Petty cover band in El Segundo, they played at Shade at a birthday party recently.
Yeah.
If you like Tom Petty, just find your way to El Segundo to see that show. These guys, you'd swear you're watching Petty. It's amazing.
Okay. All right.
Good to know.
Good to know. And Kelly Stroman, thank you so much. Downtown Business Association, Manhattan Beach Business Association, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again. I love it.
All right. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.